Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Monday. It is the inaugural day of the 2025 NFL Combine here in Indianapolis from Radio Row. Things not really kicking up here yet. They will most certainly be busy tomorrow morning, but didn't want to be doing this from the hotel. Got to be here at the Cheesehead TV table at Radio Row. The first time Cheesehead TV has gotten a table all to itself. Only took me 15 years. Another 15, maybe we'll get, you know, a whole stage or something. Good to see everybody in the comments already mixing it up. Of course, just because we haven't heard from anybody with the Packers yet, that will happen tomorrow morning with Brian Gutekunst talking to both the local media and then the assembled national mass. Mark Murphy and the Green Bay Packers made some headlines today. Earlier this weekend, the last 2 days, really, the league has been meeting here in Indy. Ownership has been meeting. And Troy Vincent, the NFL vice president, one of many, told reporters today that one team had put forth a proposal to ban the tush push, the play that the Eagles rode to a Super Bowl championship. And obviously, a lot of speculation about the fact that it was going to be the Green Bay Packers who were the team that put out the proposal. And of course, it came out later. Diana Russini, I believe, was the first to report it, that the Green Bay Packers were indeed the team. And I don't think anybody is surprised by this, given Mark Murphy's very public and very vocal opposition to the play. And so I don't misquote the man. I do want to kind of right here show you guys what he said on Packers.com back on February 1st. He was asked about the tush push, and this echoed something he had talked about last year when asked about the play. His Murphy Takes Five Q&A with fans. He does it basically once a month. And he had talked about it last year, talked about it again this year back on February 1st. And here's what the man had to say. Quote, "I am not a fan of this play. There is no skill involved, and it is almost automatic first down on plays of a yard or less. The series of plays with the Commanders jumping off sides in the NFC Championship game to try and stop the play was ridiculous. The referee even threatened to give the Eagles an automatic touchdown if the Commanders did not stop it. I would like to see the league prohibit pushing or aiding the runner, QB, on this play. There used to be a rule prohibiting this, but it is no longer enforced because I believe it was thought to be too hard for the officials to see. The play is bad for the game, and we should go back to prohibiting the push of the runner. This would bring back the traditional QB sneak. That worked pretty well for Bart Starr and the Packers in the Ice Bowl." And yeah, I got to give him props for shouting out Bart Starr in the Ice Bowl, where you famously have a set of hands in the air to show the refs that Bart was not being helped or pushed from behind. And yes, that is a rule that went away a few years ago. I do take issue with Murphy saying there's no skill involved. If there was no skill involved, every team would be doing it or figuring out ways to do it with the personnel they have on hand, much like his own team. The Green Bay Packers have found a way of doing it with Tucker Kraft that has been pretty darn successful. And on the flip side, just figure out how to stop it. Another thing the Packers have done, more than any other team in the league, the Packers have more successful stops of the tush push against the Philadelphia Eagles than anybody else. I just get a little upset when you start talking about, well, you know, it's not football. Is that what people were saying about the Lombardi sweep? Because no one could stop that back in the day? You have to adapt and try and figure it out. And that is part of kind of the chess game, the chess match between teams and coordinators, because that's the other aspect of this that I think people really kind of gloss over or don't even think about. Yes, they have a decided advantage, and you've heard Sirianni talk about this. They are playing with four downs. Well, you as a defensive coordinator have to respond in kind. You can't be sitting there. If you do get, say, a stop or a limited amount of yardage on first down to bring up a second and nine, well, then it is your job. It is incumbent upon you, Mr. Defensive Coordinator, to make sure you're not playing that soft-ass second and nine zone where, oh, we'll just rally and tackle and make sure we don't, you know, let them pass the sticks. Well, you're just giving the Eagles a first down in that regard. You have to change up your approach. You have to play as kind of strict and tight and as you would on first down or any other important down on second and long. Because you know they are just aiming to get to third and fourth and short. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. Absolutely is not, as you can see by the number of times that they've been successful with the play. But just outright banning it, I'm not in agreement with that. I think it's pretty embarrassing. I think it signals that the Packers just don't want to compete because they're the ones proposing it. And I don't imagine, and I don't think for a second, that they're the only team that is not a fan of the play. I am sure there are plenty of other teams and or owners who want the play to go away. And I have enjoyed the kind of conspiracy theories I've already read today online about, well, the Packers are taking the bullet for other owners, and Mark is doing this on his way out the door for these other guys. And I guess I'd give a little more credence to that if he hadn't been talking about this literally over 2 years ago. Like, he was planting the seed that far in advance prior to his retirement. I'm not sure I buy that. But, hey, we're here now, and apparently this is going to be on the table for the league meetings later on. I think in later mid-March when they meet down there at the NFL league meetings. The owners will vote on it. We'll see how far it goes. I suspect it will fall short of the 24 votes needed to change things. But we shall see how it transpires here this offseason. Another fun talking point, no doubt about it. Hello to everyone in the comment section. So good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Let's get to your questions and comments here. We start with Andrew Ware. How are you, buddy? AJ's comments about Hurts saying everything is cool, but they are both driven by winning, made me think about how some tension in the locker room is a good thing. Think we could use a little more of it. I feel you, man. And like, that's kind of what we've talked about here on the channel before. In fact, we've talked about it during watch parties where, just because you do see that kind of tension, right? Or it comes out, say, in public quotes or what have you, that can be a good thing. It is about, you know, not just competitiveness, but certainly pushing each other to be better. With that said, you know, you don't want a toxic environment. You know, you certainly want to make sure that everyone's keeping the main thing in regards to winning football games, right? But certainly, I agree with you in the sense that you want the tension that is productive. And there's certainly a difference. And I think most people know it. Most people in competitive situations know it when they, especially when they see it and feel it. But I'm with you that it can be constructive. As for Green Bay needing more of it in their locker room, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's necessarily necessary for a team to, say, win a championship. Certainly the Eagles have ridden that wave and it's been successful for them, but I tend to remember how harmonious things were in the 2010 championship year. That team was tightly knit. Great stories about the night before the Super Bowl and how, you know, they knew they were going to win the game and how close they all were. I just don't know. I don't think there's any one way you have to be. I certainly think it can be productive, though, no doubt about it. Greg, thanks for the super chat, man. Appreciate you. Non-football question. Who sang lead vocal on Burning Down Wonderland? You or Ben Gorski? I love, love, love that song. Keep the hits coming, sir. Well, that's really kind of you, sir. I did the lead vocals. Ben did the backing vocals in the chorus. I really appreciate you listening to it. Anybody who listens to Motel Men at all. Very much appreciate it. And thanks for the compliment, Greg. Peter, thanks for the super chat, man. What's the percentage of stopping the tush push? Low. Very low. Like, minimal. I don't have the percentage offhand, but not high. Let's put it that way. Jeff, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Tush push is absolutely football. Was excited that we got one with Kraft. Sometimes our parents, a.k.a. Murphy, embarrass us. Where are we eating tonight? Funnily enough, I have a reservation at St. Elmo's. So I'll be having some St. Elmo's later this evening with a friend, and looking forward to that. And as far as Murphy embarrassing us, I don't think Murphy's embarrassed anyone. I do think it's unfortunate. I just don't understand the viewpoint that it's not, doesn't take skill, and that it does come across as, unwilling to compete, which is very unfortunate. Menace, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Neg, since it's the offseason, let's say since 2015, what's the one move made by Green Bay that you still to this day vehemently disagree with? Trade, draft pick, free agent, signing, cut, your choice. Since 2015? Man, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look over all the transactions. That's a wide swath, right? how about keeping Aaron Rodgers one more year than necessary? That's probably it. And I think there are certainly people inside the building that wanted to move on from Rodgers coming off that second MVP. I know others will say you never would ever trade the MVP. I think that would have been the smarter move. And signing him to that deal and then moving off of him a year later probably set them back by a year or two as far as their kind of recalibration of their squad, so to speak, trying to get to a new core of trying to win a championship and ascending as a team rather than hanging on to things. But that's probably the one that leaps to mind when you give me that window. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. Are you surprised Packer coaches don't want to be part of the player interview process? Do they see the interviews live streaming or later? Joe, actually, they are somewhat or can be involved remotely. Now, how much they are, I'm not sure. That's actually a great question to ask Goody tomorrow, which I will do. But I do know that if not the Packers, I know other teams have certainly incorporated Zoom and kind of virtual remote stuff into some of the interview process. So they have a look in and the ability to be kind of a part of the interview here in Indy. But I don't know as far as Matt and his crew and how much they're involved or not. Like I said, that's a great question. I'll ask Gutekunst about it tomorrow morning. Let me see. Tulio says Kevin King has my vote. Everyone going with Kevin King. That's just rude. That is just not nice. Not re-signing Micah Hyde. Was that back? Is that fit that window? That feels like it was before 2015, but maybe I'm wrong. That would be number two on my list. How about that? Ed, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. I guess hanging a Packers rule banner behind you would be frowned on. No, not at all. Actually, to my right is a Lions step and repeat where they have like the thing for the Lions. And then let's see up here, they're putting up the Marquee Sports Network. There are a few of the Patriots and the Bills have their things up. So no, I could if I so chose, but you know, I like having just the kind of framework here virtually and then letting you guys have a sneak peek and a little look in at Radio Row here, which, by the way, tomorrow will be much busier. But tonight, still lots of people rolling in and setting up. Let's see what else we got here. Is Gutekunst in the discussion with Adams? Will there be a lowball offer? Larry, how well you know the Packers. No official word yet. I'm sure Brian will be asked about it tomorrow. Now, he's not allowed to say anything. He's not allowed officially really to even talk to Adams because he is still under contract. Adams is under contract with the Jets. So has there been discussion with the Jets about trading for Devontae? I absolutely doubt it. I very much doubt it. I think everyone is just waiting for Devontae to be cut. Now, this is the week where most of those conversations take place as far as tampering. You know, the NFL has their legal tampering period 48 hours prior to the start of free agency, which I believe is in two more weeks. But, you know, this is where the real tampering takes place here in Indianapolis, late evenings, at bars, at restaurants, personnel folks talking to agents and guys who are set to become free agents. This is the week where those conversations will start to happen. So we may hear a thing or two as the week goes along. I will say the Packers and Gutekunst are usually pretty buttoned up, and they keep all that stuff really kind of on lock and tightly kind of knit as far as not letting things get out into the media. That doesn't mean there won't be a stray agent here or there who might leak something, but oftentimes that is because they are trying to use the Packers as leverage. It's something we talked to Brian about last year on Packer Transplants. But if there is anything to kind of come of those conversations or those possibilities, I'm sure we'll start to hear it this week. Andrew, thanks for the super chat. I wouldn't mind if we thought in four downs more. You know what's funny, Andrew, is that for a good long time there, when LaFleur got to Green Bay, they did. LaFleur went for it on fourth down a bunch more than kind of league average for certain. And when Rodgers was still in town, they certainly went for it quite a bit more than they did this past year. Even Love's first season as a starter, they went for it a bit more than they did in 2024. I don't know what caused that change. I don't know why he got so conservative. But if I have to see another game fourth down where they line up and they move guys around and they give the barking of the signals and nobody moves and they just take the penalties so that Wheeling can punt, I'm going to throw myself in front of a train. I am so sick of that. Beyond sick of it. Porkmaster. Make jet sweeps on fourth down illegal. Now you're talking my language. Thank you. Especially if they're given to, you know, wide receivers who used to be tight ends, then definitely not in the gig. Vin V, what's up, man? Blaine, where in the world is Aaron Nagler this week? I'm at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. I know it's seemingly every other week or so I'm in a different location. And thankfully this time the NFL has provided us with wired internet, so you guys hopefully are not having to deal with the jump cuts that you did while I was at the Super Bowl. That's a great question, Richard. Are you guys planning to interview anyone from the Packers organization on Cheesehead TV in the near future? Love the Gutekunst interview with you and Corey. Well, thank you, sir. I'm really glad you checked it out. And hopefully? We'll see. It's tough. You know, we'll certainly hopefully have Brian on again at some point this offseason. I doubt it'll be tomorrow or while we're here in Indianapolis. I will say it is kind of funny. They have placed the Cheesehead TV table that I'm at right here right next to the Green Bay Packers table. Not that there's anybody from the Packers here, but the Packers will certainly be, I guess, in the building, so to speak, or at least somebody on either the radio side or the digital side will be sitting to my left later in this week. And maybe if they bring along somebody, I can like beg for them to come over here and talk to me too. I don't think that's going to happen though. Jay Western, that's well, I'm glad Cheesehead TV got a table, even a chair too. We're ascending, not just a chair. I got four chairs. I could have other people here sitting with me, which hopefully later this week I will have someone sitting next to me and we'll be chatting live here on the air. It'll be a good time. They've made a terrible mistake. Yes. Yes, they have, Portmaster. Yes, Slider, this is thank you. Don't want tush push? Learn to stop it. That's where I'm just kind of living right now, because I understand the Eagles have made it really efficient and perfected it, as it were. But it is funny to me how, again, like no one else can seemingly do it on the regular, though the Packers have gotten pretty successful with Tucker Kraft and their kind of version of it, right? But this idea that, oh, it was Jason Kelce and then Kelce retires and, oh, will it be the same? Well, they can chugging along, right? Still producing with this play, despite their personnel. I will say I hear calls about the enforcement of the neutral zone. That's where I think things get interesting, because I do think, you know, the thing that Mark Murphy referenced about the Commanders continuously jumping off sides and the official warning them. Well, are you not going to warn the Eagles about lining up in the neutral zone ever? Because that certainly has helped in their ability to do this. Now, I hear those calls, but then I also say, well, then you start doing it. You start lining up your guys in the neutral zone. Although John Runyon Jr. would say, you know, if you know, you tried that there in Lambeau called 2 years ago and got frosted for it. So I just think the inconsistency is the real glaring issue there. Oh, Patrick, good question. Do you think Matt LaFleur gave any input to Murphy wanting to ban the tush push? I do not. It is something I'd like to ask both of those parties. Funnily enough, I ran into Mark Murphy this morning, and he may have just been coming right from proposing the ban. I was live on a conference call on my phone in the Westin lobby. I was live with Corey with LiveX, and Mark walked by and he said hello. Had I but known, I would have grabbed him and asked him. But to your point and to your question, I doubt it. I doubt LaFleur had much, if any, input. It's something I'm also probably going to, I would suspect someone will ask Gutekunst about it tomorrow. But I would think not, simply because Mark, like I said, has been pretty vocal about this now going on a couple of years. And, you know, like I said, Matt LaFleur has adapted to his personnel and utilized it with Tucker Kraft. I can't believe Matt is then turning around going, we need to get rid of this. You know, he's been pretty damn successful with it. Also, as I pointed out earlier, the Packers have done a better job than most at stopping it. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if Matt was involved, but never say never. Ed, thanks again, man. So then, on the far wall behind you, how about a Packers three-peated twice? How hard can it be, banner? Now we're cooking. Now we are cooking. Oh, that would have been good. And then I could have asked to be placed right next to the Chiefs. Oh, that would have been fun. I will say one fun thing on the placement here. Last year when I was with 97.3 The Game, we shared a table with them. They had us literally right next to the Vikings radio guys. And I was like feeling frosty because I'm sure Paul Allen at this point has heard about, you know, my co-founder and many rants about Paul Allen. But this year they've got us very far away from the Vikings. So I appreciate these small mercies. Ooh, Menace. That's a great question. Who are you taking in their prime, Kraft or JerMichael Finley? At the height of his powers, probably Finley. But I do think Kraft is still growing and developing as a player, and he may surpass JerMichael at some point. But, you know, totality, I would give the nod to JerMichael. Obviously, I think a bunch of people would probably point to the drops and the issues there, and they certainly were frustrating. But as a complete package, I would give the nod to Finley. Now, that doesn't mean that Kraft can't get there. I'm sure he will, actually. But, yeah, right now, as they stand, I would give the nod to JerMichael. What else we got? Menace, thanks again, man. How about letting all 53 suit up and play? Propose that. Could you? I'd be down. Let's go. I mean, total scrum. I'm up. John Simitovich, what's up, man? Welcome to the great city of Indianapolis. Thank you so much, John. Love being here. Love coming each and every year. It's one of my favorite moments on the NFL calendar each and every season. It's a great time catching up with a lot of people. I'm seeing an old friend tonight who I haven't seen in a long time. That's kind of the whole week. And it's just phenomenal for connecting with people, both socially and for work, as far as, you know, people that you know and don't really get to talk to on the regular, but you see each and every year here. And a little intel, a little networking, and it's all very productive. And, you know, the drinks are good. And the food is good, too. Richard, how's Corey doing? Corey's doing great. Talked to him a couple times today. Very excited. Getting ready for the draft. We have a lot going on heading into the draft in Green Bay. That's going to be a good time. Ooh, Brett, excellent question. Are you all in on Shamar Stewart? I am all in on the idea of the Packers selecting him in April's draft and all of the usual suspects complaining about the pick. I can't wait. I love the player. I love his tape. I do understand the misgivings because of a lack of production, i.e. sacks. But, man, I think he is an exciting player, and I would love to see him in the green and gold. Now, that said, I suspect by the time the draft rolls around, he'll probably go prior to 23, but we'll see how things transpire. Porkmaster, how are you, man? Did you talk to Matt yet about him not knowing what play action means? I have not. That's an excellent question, though. I do think he understands what play action is. Maybe he defines it a little bit differently than you and I. That's all I know. All right, buddy. I have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. I'll talk to you tomorrow after we hear from Gutekunst. Go Pack, go.